It is official. Utah football is your Pac-12 champions, and they're heading to the Rose Bowl. Oregon is losing their head coach and star player all before their season is actually officially over. And we're diving into it all during today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast and making this your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete, current ESPN social media specialist. And joining me today is Brian Brown from Locked On Utes. Obviously, no better person to have on after a weekend like the one we saw when it comes to Pac-12 football. Brian was actually at the game in Las Vegas, and if you saw some tweets from Locked On Pac-12, that was his, I guess I want to say yours truly, but his truly. I don't know how to say that. How do you say that when you're referring to somebody else?
English.
Well, you just
never,
say yours truly. It was Brian Brown. Yeah. He had the keys to the Twitter over the weekend. Rightfully so. He was live at the game, and we just felt like giving you that live look of everything going on made sense coming from him. So, first and foremost, congratulations to your Utah Utes, Brian. I know you were super excited not only to see that win, but actually be present for the win. What was the atmosphere like in Vegas?
It was buzzing. I think that's a good way to put it. And this was a game that a lot of people were looking forward to. It was one of the highest rated Pac-12 championship games on record.
Yeah.
I believe it's 4.6 million people tuned in. Another top five appearance for the season in terms of most watched games. Some of that is probably the Friday night time slot, but the good news is that it was also one of the highest attended games. Over 51,000 people showed up for it. If you're an Oregon fan, the downside to that was most of it was Utah fans. And it's a good thing for the conference, I think, that you had that many people show up, made a good first impression. It was a big weekend in Vegas, very busy. But it was, there was a lot of energy. And I think most of it came from the Utah side of things. It was very pro-Utah. It was very loud in there. And I think it was a very great showcase of what Vegas can be for the conference going forward. And hopefully it's generating excitement because I think USC fans are going to want to go there now, right? I think Oregon fans would like to go back when they're,
when they're
more settled
kind of
down.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, knowing them, they'll probably have the redemption side of things and looking to go next year. So,
yep.
You know,
exactly. And that's a younger team with a lot of talent. And I think once they get the head coaching situation squared away, you'll see that talent will continue to develop. But it was an incredible atmosphere. It was almost a dead repeat of the game 2 weeks ago.
I think this one was even worse. Like, it was even worse for Oregon. How do you went into the half 23-0. Like,
yeah.
My whole thought process and when I say I'm not understanding is because I definitely thought that Oregon would go back into the playbooks, go back into looking at the tape from the game against you guys and be prepared and going into a championship game, knowing that, like, there's a different mindset. We're coming hungrier, stronger, and they looked weaker.
In a lot of respects, yes. I think the bigger thing to me was just the way the Utah defense suffocated the Oregon offense. Anthony Brown was completely ineffective. There was not a lot in the run game either. They had a few opportunities to the outside. That's the one that surprises me the most. I thought that Oregon would be a little bit better prepared offensively. I knew that defensively, it was just going to be a tough matchup for them because Utah's personnel package, they have three of the best tight ends in the country. I don't think, I'm outlandish in saying that anymore. It was on display, and it was fun to see local kid Dalton Kincaid. He's a Vegas native, Liberty High School, and he balled out in that game just like he did 2 weeks ago. But it was... I mean, you saw the game, like what did you see? Because I saw an Oregon team that looked like as soon as that first drive went down the field, like, here we go again.
I didn't watch it fully, but I was keeping up with it. And I'll say from jump, the shock of seeing the score is what threw me completely off, because I just wanted a more competitive championship game. I think a lot of people were nervous about who's going to compete against Oregon to make it even entertaining, right? And when it came down to it, it's like, who's going to compete against Utah to make it entertaining? Like, that's what it, you know, and of all teams, we for sure would have thought it would have been Oregon. But I will say a little part of me is in surprise because of the Oregon team we've been seeing all season long. And I continue to go back to it because there's a lot of games that they barely scraped by and won. A team like Arizona should not have been able to put up as many points as they did against Oregon. They should not have been competitive against Oregon. Cal should not have been competitive against Oregon. Oregon lost to Stanford. And then obviously Utah. But like, Stanford did not finish their season strong. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you're looking back at how Oregon's season went, you're not as completely shocked about what went down in this championship. But on top of that, though, I think the other side of me that's like more competitor and whatever expected to see more fight in their for some of those players, last Pac-12 championship game, right? Last opportunity to go out on top. And it just wasn't giving. And then it makes you also think back to last season, how they kind of looked up into the Pac-12 championship. And you're wondering if that team was as strong as, you know, what it appeared to be.
This was kind of a team that they got by all year long, right?
Yeah.
And what we saw from this Utah team was a team that consistently grew and improved and got stronger.
Yes.
That defense by the end of the year was an absolute killer. And that was the most surprising part about the season, was Utah's defense just struggled. And I think, you know, look, it was a very unique season for Utah in a number of ways.
Yes.
I think you have to take account for the fact that coming off a year like COVID, losing two teammates in the way that they did in Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe, and seeing, you know, credit to Ducks fans down there, because Utah's started doing a moment of loudness to celebrate Ty Jordan and Aaron, who didn't get to play in Rice-Eccles Stadium, not Ty at least. And Oregon fans joined in. It was such a neat, special experience. It's been so impactful. You have to believe that that played a factor in terms of them having a little extra juice throughout the season.
Always. I've said it since it happened, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, again, you already were aware of, you know, what happened to the player before, you know, Aaron Lowe. And then, or was it Ty Jordan? Which one
Ty
was
Jordan,
it?
Yeah.
Ty Jordan before. And then going into this season, you know, you're obviously playing for him, but it's, I won't say it's in the back burner, but it's not as fresh on the heart, right?
Correct.
And then you have Aaron Lowe happen. And it all just brings back those same feelings from Ty Jordan, now amplified. And so I've said it from since that moment happened, they're playing for a different reason now. It's completely beyond just, oh, I want a title, right? It's so much more. And that motivation carried them week in and week out. They played like there was something else important to them. And it showed.
So many of the players and coaches talked in the post game afterwards about believing. Having belief. And how do you not believe in one another when you, to a degree, believe that you have teammates that are above, watching, you know, looking down on you, cheering you on? And so I think that really unified them in a lot of ways. And that's part of why we saw them play so dominantly against Oregon two games in a row. This was a team that was extremely unified. And, you know, it was just a great finish to a great season for Utah. Oregon will be back. This is a strong, proud program, and there's a lot of good talent up there still. They dealt with an absolute slew of injuries, and they're always going to be a competitor in the Pac-12 as long as, you know, that administration and that backing is in place. This was just Utah's moment to shine, and they went out and did what they had to do just that, and now they're going to the Rose Bowl, and that's, you know, that's a big deal for this Utah fan base.
For sure. Okay, well, Oregon may be back, but there's a few people that won't be back to Oregon, and we'll dive into that coming up next. For those of you that are college football fanatics, you definitely want to check out Prize Picks. We still have a bunch of bowl games to go through. So Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy for you. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy, and they offer more college football props than anyone in the world. They also offer all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players that you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use promo code Locked On. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and then you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. You can take the over on LeBron, combine it with the under on Mahomes, all in the same entry. So use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Shout out to you listeners for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. One of the biggest things to come out of, you know, the weekend. Okay, well, before we dive into that, actually, Utah heading to the Rose Bowl. Really quick, how much does that mean to this program? What's the history for Utah? Is this their first time in the Rose Bowl? I know I should know these things, but you know, bowl games, they kind of date back for a while, and that's a little beyond my history sometimes. So I got to ask when I don't know. Okay. Yeah. So,
and I'm the right person to be asking that. You know, I believe the first bowl game was in 1964. They went to the Liberty Bowl, but the Liberty Bowl was actually played on the University of Utah campus that year, in a wild scenario. But this is the first time Utah's gone to the Rose Bowl. This is a program that's only been in the conference for 10 years, and this is a fan base that is very passionate. They believe in their team. They're very aggressive about their team, especially on social media, as I'm sure some people have noticed. But they wanted to feel like they belonged, and I think this is validation for them. And this is a program that's been very competitive for a long time, under Kyle Whittingham, and so it means everything. You know, Utah fans are already scrapping to get tickets from every nook and cranny that they can to get down there. It's going to be a convoy. When Utah went to the Fiesta Bowl in 2004, you know, they were driving down to Arizona in droves, to the point to where they're cleaning gas stations out of food on the way down. You know, that's how Utah is a small state, and in this footprint, it's easy to overlook Utah. Someone who's grown up here, I know its perks, but I also know why people love LA, and I know why people love San Francisco, and I know why people love Seattle, and it's really tough to compete if you're Utah. So for Utah fans, it's everything. For this program, it's everything. For Kyle Whittingham, it's a culmination of a plan that he put together over 10 years ago to bring this program to relevancy, and you're starting to see them emerge as kind of like,
for sure,
you know, one of those top tier teams. And you know, it takes a long time for this stuff to evolve. But right now they're one of the most stable programs in the conference, and they're not peaking as much as they're starting to trend upward again, as they hit this plateau. So, it does mean a lot for them. And I think, you know, Utah fans are having a lot of fun enjoying it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Ohio State's an excellent football team, and the matchup between that offense and Utah's defense is going to be, you know, a really fascinating one to break down. But I think the other part of it too is just you're seeing that what Utah's done is forcing changes across the conference.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very refreshing to have a team in the Rose Bowl that we typically wouldn't see. You know, when Utah joined the Pac-12, they didn't come in silently. They came in being competitive. But getting to this level, you're able to see them against a Big Ten school. And more importantly, I'm loving that it's not a repeat of Oregon versus Ohio State, which we already saw earlier this year. Like, we want to see new teams, even though Ohio State isn't necessarily the Ohio State that, you know, was popping earlier this season. I don't even know if they were actually popping in the earlier season, honestly, but the reputation behind them when they were facing Oregon was a lot bigger than what we're going into in this Rose Bowl game. So the likelihood of Utah actually walking away with this win is just going to be the cherry on top to their season. But it's very likely to happen just looking at, you know, what we're seeing from this team, from both teams, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's fascinating, right? Like we're seeing this kind of just spin out of control and go crazy. And, man,
it feels good, huh? It's like one of those take it all in.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I it's really hard. I've been trying to describe just watching it, and I've grown up watching this program. I've been around it a ton. I've now transitioned into covering it and trying to provide, you know, insight and an opportunity to people as to what I've been able to see. And so you kind of reserve yourself a little bit from a fan side of it, but just, you know, this is a program that's worked so hard and done a lot to really try to establish themselves. It was surreal to see kids on the field after the game, you know, as they're celebrating, kind of look around like, what do I do now? You know, they've been on this mission to keep fighting and everything like that. And, you know, some of them were elated. Some of them were definitely in their feels, I guess we'll say it that way.
Yeah, which is good though. I mean, and on top of that, here's the thing: the fight isn't over.
No,
the fight is not over. You know what I mean? We have one more game for them to play, the bowl game, and it's obviously one of the highest bowl games you can get coming out of Pac-12. I think that moment will probably be the most surreal for them, but it will be a culmination of the toughest season, like we talked about earlier, that they've probably had to deal with. And they can say that they did it for their teammates, not only for themselves, but their teammates too. And, you know, for the family.
And that's what it's always been about, is believing in one another, believing in the mission that they can accomplish. And I think, you know, I think having some success and feeling that feeling of accomplishment will definitely motivate them further. It'll be interesting to see how Ohio State responds. This was a team that was basically destined for the playoff and then struggled against a very very good Michigan team. But you know, it's just, I like the matchup. I think it's two very unique teams. Ohio State being a very strong, potent offensive team. You know, CJ Stroud was once a recruit that Utah was very heavily invested in. Clark Phillips was once an Ohio State commitment that flipped to Utah. The Vamahi brothers, Aliki and Enoch, you know, playing on opposite sides on each team. So there's a lot of fun storylines to look into there. The matchups are interesting. And I think young Ryan Day, having, you know, kind of evolved under Urban Meyer, and the, you know, the old guard, so to speak, and Kyle Whittingham cutting his teeth a little bit under Urban Meyer is a fascinating thing. And so it's a really strong matchup, in my opinion. And I think, you know, for all the lack of buzz and maybe marketing pizzazz that Utah, you know, comes with, I think they make up for it on the field. And Ohio State's going to be a great measuring stick for this program to find out really how much further they need to go.
Yeah. Well, Utah is heading to the Rose Bowl. Oregon is heading to the Fiesta Bowl, but without two missing parts. So we'll get into that coming up next. BetOnline has you covered all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, guys, the holiday season is here, so make sure you grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. It's filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor. Look, Brian has his on deck and prepared, but it's covered in chocolate. It's amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat. but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. There's so many flavors to choose from. You'll definitely have a hard time choosing, from raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie. With this holiday season, there's a mixture of different flavors and something for everyone to choose from. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you'll need to bust down these mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Okay, Brian, the talk we've been doing so much has been about Utah and the excitement about them making it to the Rose Bowl. But we do have to talk Oregon, because not only did they lose this game by a huge margin, but they lost their head coach, and then they lost Kayvon Thibodeau, which is their star player. So first, let's dive into Mario Cristobal heading to Miami, decided to take his talents there. I want to get your thoughts about that decision, because I feel like he was building something great at Oregon. Might have ran into a little bit of a snag this year with the up and down play, but like you said, they dealt with injuries. They still were a top team all throughout the season. And again, it looked as if Oregon was being, you know, built up to their prominence again, kind of like Chip Kelly era, you know, with Mario at the helm. Definitely a great recruiter, but then just decides to bounce. And I don't know, from the aspect of looking in as an analyst or whatever, if you could say you saw this coming, or if it's like a huge shock, considering that they weren't doing terrible.
It's not a huge shock given the circumstances, right? And, Okay. You know, it was fascinating sitting on the press conference after the game and seeing Mario Cristobal. He looked like he was a man that was very much carrying a burden, so to speak. You know, coaches typically are upbeat and energetic and you know, the kind of people that'll look you right in the eye no matter who you are. Like, they're searching your soul for every little bit of information that they can get from it. And as he walked out of the press conference, you know, I was right there, he walked right past me. You could see that this had weighed on him. And I don't know that it's necessarily just the decision to go to Miami or not, because I think that this is likely something that's not come onto his desk, you know, in the last 24 hours, right?
Right. It's something he's been mulling over, I'm sure.
100%. And I think he knew that it was coming. You know, it's been pretty well publicized that his mother is ill and back home there. It is his alma mater. There are a lot of things that tug on your heartstrings with that kind of a decision. So I don't know that it was something that he came to lightly. Am I super surprised given that information? No, because I think family over everything is you know, what most people
it's
choose.
Given. Right. Mm-hmm.
The money obviously is going to be a big thing. You know, I think really he had a lot of good things going for him at Oregon. There were some things that were starting to trend a little bit, right? He struggled to get good quarterbacks developed there. You know, we've seen Justin Herbert just explode once he left the Oregon system. Now, you could argue that he got the foundation while he was at Oregon, but they've had a hard time locking down that spot since he's left. You know, Anthony Brown was very inconsistent this season, and they have some young quarterbacks that really haven't taken a step forward yet. And so I think that was trending. The big thing that was trending positively was the recruiting, and it was about to be another dynamite class. And now that class is about to be picked over by the recruiting vultures, and you have to believe that Lincoln Riley has called every single player in that class, and that there are plenty of Oregon players that are thinking about the transfer portal now. They do leave Oregon in a really sketchy situation, right? Now they have to go out and find another coach. Hearing that Kalani Sitake from BYU is an option to interview. We heard that Chip Kelly was an option to return there, which that's pretty fascinating to me. There are other candidates out there. You have to wonder if Oregon reaches out to Scott Frost and sees if maybe he needs a change of scenery to come back to things. But I think I think this was a decision that Cristobal made not based on the football side of things as much as it was the personal side.
Yeah. Which no one can fault him for. I just think we've seen, you know, a few coaching changes going on in the Pac-12, and it seems like that's going to continue. The Chip Kelly one would be another spiral, because then we'll be looking who's going to come to UCLA then.
Or Justin Wilcox, right? He's an Oregon alum.
It'll just keep our conversations rolling through the off season, which, you know, we're never hating on. We need stuff to talk about here. But continuing on, Mario Cristobal's gone, and so I feel like that's prompted some other decisions. We all knew that Kayvon Thibodeau was going to declare for the draft. I don't think that's the surprising part at all by any means. But deciding to sit out the bowl game and not play, some may call it selfish, because we've seen this time and time again, year in, year out, before COVID was even a thing, players sitting out to preserve themselves ahead of the draft for health reasons, whatever the case may be. They know playing in that last game can be tough. Sometimes they get criticized because it feels like it's the last game of the season. It's the bowl game. Why would you not play with your team you've been riding with all season long? I think one thing that everyone should know about Kayvon Thibodeau by now, if they haven't figured it out, is that he is a businessman. Like, he goes into this very thoughtfully, thinking through things. Not one decision is not calculated, and not calculated in a negative way. When you hear calculated, I know it's a negative connotation. I mean, he just thinks out his decisions. It's not on, I'm just here for the love of the game. Like, he's very smart when it comes to knowing that he's a brand, knows that this is a means to an end. So football is just the beginning of what he's going to be in this world. And so for him, he knows, like, right now football's the moneymaker to get, you know, those other places, and it's the stepping stone. He doesn't want to risk getting injured, and he's already dealt with the injury this season. So on one side of the ball, it's fair, right? On the other side, I kind of feel like Oregon's not finishing their year. They're not finishing their season because they're losing out on their coach before, you know, like, that could have waited to after the bowl game. You knew you were going to a bowl game regardless. So I kind of hate when coaches do this where they leave before things, you know, are really final and finished, like, finish out the season. But Kayvon leaving kind of feels like a even deeper, and I don't want to speak for him and say, like, oh, he doesn't care about his team or anything like that. Like I said, businessman, he's thinking beyond it. But it just still sucks, you know? It sucks to be like, he won't be there. That'll be a missing piece for Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, it's...
I have a question right before you. Do you feel like if it was the Rose Bowl, he'd be playing?
No.
No? Because
I think,
okay.
If it was the Rose Bowl against Ohio State...
Probably not because they are right. Yeah, probably not.
Because he already got that one. But I think you laid it out perfectly. He's in it for this business. You know, he's always been about it, and he's one of the rare players that can balance his incredible play with that side of it. And the projections, look, he has nothing to gain by playing one more game, and he's not getting paid for it. And how much of us love to do our jobs for free? Not me.
I'm gonna tell you right now, would not be doing it.
Not here for it, right? Like we're all busy and we all have stuff to do and things to take care of, and you know, that's a lot of work for him. And look, he's paid his dues, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the guy has done what he's needed to do at Oregon. I think he's elevated the program. You know, I think he's proven how good he is.
That's fair. It's fair. You're 100% right. Like, he gave what he needed to give. He stayed for – he did his 2 years, right? Like,
fought through injuries. You know, like, this is a dude that's given a lot to that Oregon program, and he knows the game, and he knows what's up. And, you know, like, I we got to let people and especially let college kids be college kids and you know, make those decisions, right?
Right.
And I think that there's no better decision maker for KT than himself.
Yeah, 100%. That's another conversation we'll get into one time, another time, about putting too much pressure on college kids and about their decisions, because at the end of the day, it's their lives that they have to continue on. And
these are million-dollar decisions that 20-year-olds are trying to face.
I don't screw that up.
I'm coming clean right off the bat.
I definitely had opportunities that I probably screwed up. So there you go, right? That tells you that right there.
I'm more than I'm almost twice their age now, and I'm still screwing up opportunities.
I'll say it's very refreshing to see someone take in consideration every aspect of this industry, right? I don't think that Kayvon is someone who is solely there just for football. He understands what the doors football can open for him, but he's so smart in this aspect of like wanting to educate himself in different realms of, you know, what's going to make him really be this possible mogul one day, you know? So if Kayvon Thibodeau is like the next Michael Jordan, but for football, I wouldn't be surprised because he's already carrying himself like that at a young age. And I feel like those are the type of players and people we see really set themselves apart and have lucrative careers are the ones that see it early and sacrifice early. Not to say you don't have your fun and still enjoy it while you're going, right? I remember asking him that at the bowl game. Like, do you ever take a moment to like enjoy what you've accomplished? Because you're always trying to accomplish the next thing. And he said like, yeah, but like that doesn't stop me from still seeking the next thing. Like, you know, it's motivation to keep going. And I mean, I 100% understand him. I feel like I live in this world now where I'm like, just enjoy your life, people. Yeah. But at the same time, enjoying it means having goals and having things you're striving for. So I don't fault him. He will be missed in the Fiesta Bowl, I'm sure. He's an exciting player to watch, but get ready to see him on the next level. We'll get into like his draft stock and all that good stuff as the offseason goes. But lots of bowl games to look forward to with the Pac-12 teams. We'll dive into that this week about which teams are going to bowl games and continuing on and which ones are now focusing on basketball. But per usual, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We always enjoy having you on talking football and whatever else Utah sports and Pac-12 sports that you bring. Thank you for going to the game and giving us the perspective from Vegas. I hope you had a good time.
I had a blast. It was a great time. Made sure to keep it light the second night in Vegas after a pretty wild night on Friday, in terms of just, you know, being at the game and seeing everything. And, you know, if you want to read a recap, I wrote one over at utezone.com. You can listen to all my stuff at Locked On Utes. You know, I found out that podcasting in 3 a.m. from your hotel room, maybe not the best idea in terms of like really sharp content. But it was an incredible experience. And, you know, just like coming on every single week with you is so.
Aw, such a sweetheart. Well, on that note, for all of you that have tuned into Locked On Pac-12 Podcast and made it your first listen of the day, go ahead and make one of the other conference shows your second listen of the day. There's Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, and Locked On Big 12, all available on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Also on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Other than that, make sure you guys continue to stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.